Good morning. It's awesome to be back here at Fairfield to speak with you all. Like the last time I was here was sometime in August, and then Mr. Woody Woodruff did that fifth Sunday, so I'm not sure how I'm supposed to follow him up, but here I am. So, Mr. Darren, I do appreciate that introduction, but since I am the guest speaker, if that tells you anything, that must mean Fairfield must be at the bottom of the barrel in terms of guest speakers. But I will do the very best that I can, because it is Halloween, so that definitely made finding a sermon or putting together a lesson pretty easy, because there's so many different things to choose from to talk about this time of year. But before I go any further, I saw a special friend this morning for what was the first time in forever, and that was Mr. Rick Bruno, and I just wanted to give him a little word of appreciation real quick, because we know he had that accident some time ago, and he's been recovering for a little bit now, and this is the first time I've seen him, and he might have been here previous weeks before this one, but this is my first time seeing him again, and he's just one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, and I'm so glad he's back with us this morning. So I love you, Mr. Rick, and good to see you this morning. So this morning, I'm going to talk about fear. And speaking of fear, I was going to have some joke about Rodney, but I don't even think he's here this morning. So I would honestly feel guilty if I made a joke while he wasn't here. So I got to keep some integrity. So maybe next year. But I want to talk about fear this morning, because there are all kinds of things that rob us of joy in our lives. That being fear. So for instance, maybe you get up in the middle of the night to go to the kitchen for some water. You turn on the light, and then you see a spider scurrying across the floor. That is fear, because that's happened to me before. Or you're at your favorite restaurant. You're enjoying your finely prepared meal, and you look at the wall, and you begin to see a cockroach climbing up it. And then you begin to think, wow, it's pretty cool how that bug can climb up a wall like that. And then you remember, oh, I'm eating. Or fear is maybe when you're a sports fan, or maybe a college football fan, and you look at the schedule and you see you have to play the Alabama Crimson Tide next week. Although, I don't know, Coach Spears, they are struggling a little bit this year. They have lost one time, so that's looking a little sketchy for them. But fear is just something that robs us of our joy in general. It can be something maybe on the silly side, or it can be something a little more severe. Fear is, you can fill in the blank. Now, there was one summer night during a severe thunderstorm. There was a mother who was tucking in her small son to bed. She was about to turn the light off when he asked in a trembling voice, "Mom, will you stay with me all night?" Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "Dear, I can't. I have to sleep in Dad's room tonight." A long silence followed. At last, it was broken by the little boy saying, "What a sissy." Now, there are a lot of things that you and I are afraid of. I actually found a list of phobias while I was researching for this lesson that I thought would be pretty neat to share, because some of them I didn't even think existed. There's cyberphobia, which you can probably guess is the fear of computers. There is ecclesiophobia, which is the fear of church. Hopefully you don't have that one. There's lunophobia, which is the fear of the moon. There's astrophobia, which is the fear of lightning. Chromatophobia, which is the fear of money. Not sure why you'd have that. There's urophobia, which is the fear of the color red. And here's one some of you might be relating to this morning. That's homophobia, which is the fear of sermons. Now, you and I both know there are things that we fear that we really shouldn't be fearing. There are things that are beyond our control, things that aren't even a reality. Now, those are the things that I find myself fearing the most, things that aren't real or things that might wait for me in the future. But there's no need for that, because it hasn't happened yet. Now, for instance, you might even be afraid to face death, which is on the more extreme side. You might be afraid of commitment. You might be afraid of rejection. Or you might have the constant fear that your loved ones are going to get hurt, and that's all you think about. Now, when I go away for the week, I go to Fried Hardeman University, and I get these thoughts occasionally, like, what if something happens to my family while I'm not at home? Now, I think this is just something that naturally comes with being a worrier and something that comes with having anxiety, but I should know that it's in God's hands and it's something that I shouldn't have to worry about. Or maybe you have the fear that you'll never measure up to anyone. Maybe you're like me and you have this crippling fear of failure and never being good enough. Or maybe you fear that one day you'll wake up and you'll find that you have a terminal illness. Now, I want us to look at a story in the Old Testament that we should be very much familiar with. And that is the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now this shows not only what fear does, but how we can fight against it. Now this is the story of David and Goliath. This is a story that we have been reading since we were all kids, but I think it's important that we revisit it. Now, real quick, I want to read verses 4 through 11. If you'd like to follow along, you can turn there at this time. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, I think this is pretty amazing because one man was able to frighten an entire army. Now, we know, you know, military today, they're some of the toughest people you'll encounter. They're trained killers in some sense. And these guys were no different. These soldiers, these hardened veterans. But one man was able to frighten them to where they didn't want to fight. Now, we all have our Goliaths, just how the Israel army had theirs, literally. All of us have those things that intimidate us day after day. Those fears that haunt us, they accuse us, and they just make us miserable every day. Now, what does this constant fear do to us? I feel like that's important to note. If we are not careful, this is what happens when we live in a constant state of fear. We experience a lack of enthusiasm. Life just isn't exciting, and it isn't purposeful anymore, and we can be driven to some depression, in a sense. We have unfocused thoughts. We can't think about what's really important. Instead, all we can think about is what we fear. Fear keeps us from interacting with others. All we want to do is be alone, and we want to deal with it by ourselves. And this is something that I struggle with. I like pushing my feelings deep down and dealing with them at a later time, or dealing with them by myself, because I hate talking about things and I hate having to ask for help, especially when it comes to things like fear. It's hard to do. Fear can keep us from getting anything done, because all we are is consumed by fear, and we live a frightful life where we don't want to go out because we are afraid. Now, eventually, this fear can turn into a sort of ungodly behavior. Now, because we know 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love." If we are the embodiment of love and we love completely the way God commands us to, then there's no reason to be afraid. And eventually these ungodly behaviors, because we don't know how to deal with them, we turn to unhealthy ways of dealing with them. So maybe we turn to alcoholism. Maybe we turn to drugs or any other external source for dealing with our fears that is not the Bible and God's truth. It's also important to note that fear can cause health problems. This fear and anxiety puts a tremendous strain on our bodies that we aren't even aware of sometimes. It causes abdominal trouble, it causes your muscles to tense up, and it can cause immense pressure on your head and give you headaches the like you've never had before. Because it's important to know that fear not only is mental, it's not only psychological, but it can affect you physically as well. Fear can also cause premature death. It wears the body down. Fear can keep you from getting the medical help that you need. Because if you have a disease that can only be corrected by surgery, and you're afraid of surgery, what's going to happen? Nothing too good. Fear eventually begins to chip away with our intimacy with God. We see God as having caused the thing that's causing us to fear. We begin to see God as the enemy who's out to get us since we were born. But guys, I can promise you that is 100% not the case. If anything, God is your Savior, and He will be there to hold your hand through your darkest night. Now there was a minister who after reading something in a journal, convinced himself that he had symptoms of a terminal illness. Now it's important to know, if you're ever feeling sick or even if you have a slight cough, you never want to go to the internet to discover what this is. Because you could have a slight cough due to allergies and you go to Google, it's like, yep, lung cancer, sorry. And that's not good, because that plants an unnecessary fear within us, just like it did to this minister. Every day, this thought of having this sickness haunted him. When he got up, he thought about it. When he carried out his day, he thought about it. It caused him to be ineffective in his ministry, and it caused him to lose the intimacy he had with God. He put a smile on his face, but on the inside, he was being ripped apart by this fear. So we need to remember that God is not the author of fear. He is not the cause. He is rather the solution. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline." How encouraging is that verse, knowing that God, who is the most powerful being imaginable, gives us power. He gives us strength. He shares a little bit with us. The only kind of fear that God promotes is the fear of himself. Now, I do want to make known that this is not the cowardice kind of fear. However, it's a fear of reverence. It says, "God, I stand in awe of you," like the song says. It says, "God, you have all the power and you have all the control, and I'm just a lowly human being as your servant." So how do we fight fear? We know what it is. We know what it can do to us. So let's go back to our David and Goliath story. We should use David as our model in how to fight fear. Now, David was just a lowly shepherd boy, but he was a man who had already accomplished some impressive feats. He fought off bears, he fought off lions, he defended his flock, so he thought it was no big deal to take on a 9-foot giant. However, the Israel army didn't think he could do it. They doubted him from the beginning. Even Saul doubted him. But David had no doubts in himself. David knew that God was with him. So he thought, who in the world could stand against me? He thought it was just one man, and what is one man compared to the power of God? So how do we fight our fear? First things first, all we need to do is face it. Because that's what David did. And no one was willing to stand up to Goliath but him. We need to have the guts to do that first, to face our fears. Now I remember, a few years ago, me and my family would watch this show called Fear Factor every now and then. It came on television. There'd be 6 contestants that faced their worst fears for a chance to win $50,000. I admire them for facing their fears, but in reality, there's no $50,000 for us when we get up in the morning and get scared of a spider and we walk past it and overcome that. There's no $50,000 incentive for that. The incentive, I hope that we remember for facing our fears, is that it pleases the Lord. Fear is not pleasing to the Lord, because if we let fear interfere with our lives, we are not giving him all the glory. All our focus is going on to that fear. So it makes sense that we face it and get on with our lives most importantly. An important truth to remember when you're facing your fears, and hearing this was something that helped me greatly whenever I would face fears, is that you're not alone in dealing with them. Just look next to you. There are so many Christians here today that are willing to help you no matter what you're dealing with. All you have to do is ask them, because that's what we're here for. We are put on this earth to serve God and to serve each other and to be there for one another when we are struggling with our fears. But it's also important to note how God has helped us in the past in dealing with our fears. If you want to go down a little bit in 1 Samuel 17, I will be reading verse 34 through 37 real quick. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.'" So here we see David recalling how God has been with him in the past and has given him the strength to overcome these fearsome creatures. And he notes that Goliath will be no different. So that's what we should do. Recall how God has helped you in the past, because that same God that helped you in the past is going to be that same God that can help you today. He'll come through for you again and again as long as you put your full trust and full faith in Him that He will deliver, because He will deliver every single time. So recall how God has helped you in the past. Also, realize that you cannot fight fear the world's way of doing things. Starting at verse 38 to 40, it says, "Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them.' So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine." This is a prime example of not doing things the world's way. Because the solution to the fear in your life may be something that you would never expect. Because who in the world would imagine that 5 smooth stones and a sling would be enough to fight this huge giant that had a huge sword that could cut through just about anything, probably. But David knew that he couldn't do things the way the army wanted him to do, because the armor had not been tested, and realistically, it probably didn't fit. Because David was just a youth, he was probably on the smaller end compared to some of those soldiers, so the armor wouldn't work for him. So maybe that armor represents a solution that you're trying to do in your life today. So maybe it's time that you picked up those smooth stones and do things God's way. So how does God get the glory and the credit when we face our fears, when we do things like men would do? Where is the now? Where is that wow factor that we expect from God? Well, God does things unlike man because He wants to remind us that He is God and we are not. So we will never truly understand why He does some of the things that He does. So don't suppress your fears. Don't justify your fears. Because fear can be a healthy thing sometimes. Don't get me wrong. It's good to have some kind of fear because it keeps you from doing stupid things and keeps you from making mistakes. But to live in that fear is where we draw the line. To have that irrational fear is where we draw the line. But deal with them with God's resources. Deal with them with His name. So what's so special about His name, you might be wondering? Well, a name defines who a person is. Whenever you hear Josh Copley, maybe many different things come to your mind. You might think, oh, I know him, he's a pretty nice guy. Or I know him, he's kind of a jerk. I know him, he can't really preach, but he's here anyway. Or a variety of things may come to your mind when you hear my name. And the same goes for any name for that matter. And God is the exact same way. God is who He is. It is a declaration of His personality. It is authoritative. We have His name as our way of tapping into these amazing resources that only He can provide. We have prayer. Now, this may be something you hear all the time. If you're struggling, just pray. And it may sound a bit cliche, but I promise that it works. Just give it time and give your faith in everything that you do. And in His name, we come to Him in prayer, as we say in all of our prayers, in His name. We have power and we have confidence in God. Now, this is the final point that I'm going to make, and that comes from verse 52, if you want to skip down a little bit. And it reads, "And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Shearim as far as Gath and Ekron." So you can probably guess what has just happened before this verse. And that is David killed Goliath. So what was able to happen? They were able to surge forward and shout. So that brings me to that last point, and that is rise and move on with your life. Fear only has as much power as you are willing to give it. After David triumphed over the giant and of the army, they were able to attack the Philistines and win. Goliath was essentially the only defense that they had. And the fear you're facing, once you break its foundation, you can push forward and you can knock it out of the park. Like the Atlanta Braves have been doing in this World Series, you can beat it down. and you can put forth a worthy offensive. But remember that before David killed this giant and before the Israelites were able to push against the Philistine army, there was a 40-day standstill. Now, I say that to remind you that defeating your fears is not something that will happen overnight. It's something that takes time. It's something that has to develop. It's something that you have to let happen. You see, fear paralyzes us in a sense. But when we fight it with God's resources, we're able to not only triumph, but to move forward in our lives. You know, I talk about fear because Halloween, it's all we think about. It's a time for scary movies. We see scary costumes on trick-or-treating. But also, fear is something that the United States of America and the world, as a matter of fact, has been living in for some 2 years now. Now, I'm not saying it isn't justified. There have been, you know, great reasons to fear. Maybe you've been fearing losing a loved one to a virus, or maybe you've been fearing for your own health. And that's good. It's good to have a healthy fear that keeps you safe. But it cannot be a fear that controls and dominates your life, or a fear that puts other things before God. Because God always comes first. Because no matter how rough things get here, He is always waiting on another plane of existence for us to win our battle against the mortal world. God wants you to move on in your life and to get over this fear. Now, remember that minister I was telling you about earlier, the one who thought he had the terminal disease, so he worried himself sick until he couldn't perform his ministry anymore? Well, that person I told you about earlier, who was paralyzed by fear, finally gave it to the Lord after 5 years of dealing with it. When he faced it and trusted the results to the Lord, it freed him. He is now being mightily used by the Lord. Now, I never say the minister's name because it's a general story. And it can be applied to anyone in this building today. Whether you're a minister or whether you're not, it doesn't matter. No matter what you're doing throughout your daily life, you can conquer fear the same way this minister did. And you can do great things as well. Because we all have the giants that we deal with in our lives. So I ask you this morning, what is the giant that you're dealing with in your life? And how are you dealing with it? Are you dealing with it in a mortal, in a human, in the way of the flesh? Is that how you're dealing with it? Well, if you are, isn't it time you dealt with it God's way? Because He is the only one that can truly help you overcome these fears. So this morning I say this. If you feel like you were drowning in your fears and you need to open up and you need to give everything to God, or if you simply want to put Christ on in baptism, you can do so at this time as together we stand and sing.